to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe. As always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
You and I were recently at a speaking engagement. We kind of had back-to-back speaking engagements, one in Louisiana, then the next one in South Carolina. And I just made the comment in one of those speaking sessions about my deep love for pastors, my deep love for staff, and how since I've been there, I want to help these pastors, I want to help staff. And I got to tell you, Jonathan, one of the most encouraging things of my ministry, our ministry, the ministry of Lifeway, is the fact that we are connecting with so many pastors and staff through, yeah, the blog, but also this podcast, and did a Twitter poll not too long ago, unofficial, non-scientific Twitter poll, and I asked this question: what is it that discourages you the most in ministry? The question was asked of staff, church staff. It was asked of pastors specifically. And then the responses started rolling in. And they rolled in as direct messages on Twitter, as public messages on Twitter. And I got some great responses. And even though we haven't scientifically validated this, I think it is some good information. And you know what? I don't want this information to just be for those who are in this particular area, pastors or staff. I also want it to be for laypersons so that they can know how to pray for their pastors and staff, mm-hmm. so they can know how to encourage their pastors and staff. And I think the vast majority of lay people, number one, are great people. And secondly, though, they don't understand what those who are in vocational ministry go through day by day. So I hope this will be something enlightening. I hope it'll be something encouraging. And at the same time, I hope it will be action-oriented as well.
It's very similar to what we discussed whenever we talked about pastor conflict and pastor criticism.
Right.
And there's kind of a two-way street. Pastors need to know how to deal with it. And lay people need to realize what they're doing to cause the criticism, or in this case, the discouragement.
That's right. And when it's all said and done, we want both sides to understand, first of all, pastoral discouragement is going to be a reality, just like criticisms are going to be a reality. Mm-hmm. But there are things that can be done about it. And that's what I really hope that this particular podcast opens.
And number one was no surprise, conflicts, complaining, and murmuring from the congregation.
Yeah, I tallied these results and I began to, okay, this one talked about murmuring. This one, there was even gossip in there, and
yeah.
I kind of included in this conflicts, people complaining. It's a maybe the overall tone would be negativity.
Yeah.
And when pastors have to deal with this, they are, and other church staff as well. You have a wife who is a children's minister, so you know well this particular part of life as a minister on staff. They get physically exhausted. They get emotionally exhausted. They get distracted from their ministries.
Yeah.
They get the focus is taken away from the main thing. And it is just such a detractor from healthy, wholesome ministry. Can you do away with complainers? No. Can you do away with murmurers? By the way, your Bible knowledge is vast. I know that.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
And do you remember the primary problem in the wilderness with the Jews as they were wandering for 40?
They grumbled.
Yeah, they murmured. They murmured. They talked about, all we have is manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time.
We want meat. We want quail.
Yeah, give me quail.
So boom, 3 feet deep, 40 miles wide.
Yeah,
there's your quail.
And they still murmured. And that's the same word. Of course, not the Hebrew and Greek are the same, but it's the same type of word that is in the New Testament about murmuring as well. And that's what they were talking about, those who whine, complain, murmur, conflict, all the negativity that can drain. Now, pastors and staff have to fully understand that this is a reality of life, this is a reality of ministry, but at the same time, our laypersons, those church members, can be more cognizant of this reality, first, to do less of it, and secondly, to pray and encourage.
One of the main ways this manifests itself as discouragement is what you mentioned earlier with distraction. It gets the minister or the pastor off of the mission that they were wanting to do, and they have to put that down, set aside time to deal with the distraction, finish that,
right,
then try to pick things up. You lose momentum, you get off task, your days kind of get away from you, and you know, when it all adds up, you feel like you're doing stuff for naught.
You know, what is kind of ironic about this is those who are more likely to complain, for example, about a pastor's sermon are those who probably distracted the pastor from sermon preparation by by complaining. So you're exactly right. It gets them off the main focus.
Number two, lack of fruit and spiritual maturity in church members.
There is so much overlap, particularly between the first three. And there's overlap in all of these. There's overlap, and I said, okay, is lack of fruit and spiritual maturity, should that go in conflicts, murmuring, complaining? Yes and no. This I heard this statement repeatedly. I invested so much time in this man, this woman, this person, and now 2 or 3 years later, I see no fruit in his life or her life. It was like, I've invested my life in this person, and I don't see any fruit. Now, that wasn't the only thing they said. They just said, I've had people sit under my preaching, and you would think that God had used his word to transform them in a certain way, but I don't see any evidence that there is any type of fruit of spiritual maturity in their lives.
Number three is apathy.
Yeah.
Kind of closely connected with number two.
It is. It's a low level of commitment. It's an unwillingness to be there. And I guess the way that this manifests itself more than anything else was very simple. Lack of consistent attendance.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a podcast and a blog post in the past on what is the single greatest reason that church attendance is declining. And the single greatest reason from an analysis point of view, not necessarily from the motivation point of view, is that people attend less. I've said it here before, and I know I've written it before, that an active church member 15 years ago was someone who attended church 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Now an active church member is someone who attends church 3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so the leaders are looking at this apathetic response to local church engagement, and they're saying, what's going on here? This is no longer the priority. And you can argue that there's so many social and community and recreational things to do that take away from the church. But above all, people are going to do those things which are their highest priority. And it appears to them that the highest priority is not church.
Yeah.
And I know this is a shameless plug, but that's why I wrote the book, I'm a Church Member.
It puts the expectations up front with the church members.
That's exactly right. The biblical expectations about what it means to be a part of the local church. So apathy, huge, very discouraging for church pastors and church staff.
Number four, church members who leave the church for seemingly silly or no reason at all.
Let me say this. We've given four, and these have come in the order of frequency in which I received them. And so just as a review, and of course I know you have it as well here at the podcast, it's on the blog, you got conflicts, complaining, murmuring, number one. You got lack of fruit and spiritual maturity, number two. Apathy, number three. And now number four, church members who leave the church for seemingly silly or no reasons. Now, why did I put all four of those together? It's because the vote total was very close.
Yeah.
It was like 1, 2, 3, and 4 were almost number one tied. Mm-hmm. And this one of the top four was somewhat of a surprise. I hear from pastors and church staff all the time, and I wasn't expecting this to be near the top, but there were some obvious emotions attached to some of the responses on Twitter where they would say that they're so frustrated that a church member will leave their church over the silliest little thing, or sometimes they won't even know the reason why. They're just gone, and you hear that they're at another church or they're not attending church at all. One of the quotes I received is, it breaks my heart when we just made a slight change in the worship service and I lost what I thought was one of my most committed members over something that insignificant. All of these issues can be tied to, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. It is, church is about my preference. Church is about my needs, instead of church being about how can I serve God through this local body. And so there was a lot of frustration expressed by these leaders who say church members are leaving for silly reasons or no reasons.
I hate to go back to it again, but I actually like going back to it. The church membership class and the commitment level that you call people to should override silly reasons like these. You mentioned the change in worship service, or maybe it's moving from 10:45 to 10:30. Oh, it's 15 minutes earlier. I can't go there anymore. I've got to go somewhere else.
Right.
Little things like that. The commitment that is expressed in the church membership classes a lot of times will override and prevent especially number four, from happening.
Was it on a recent trip that we had when was it you that asked the question, what can we do about this? I don't know if it's you or not. I mean, I'm sure it was. And if it's you, I probably wasn't listening. So it's probably someone else. And they asked the question, whoever that was, what can we do about these issues? Is there one single thing? Well, there may not be a magic bullet, but you hit on it, Jonathan. If we have a membership class or an entry point class or some type of place where people will come before they are church members, and it states clearly the expectations, and the expectations are not only on what the church will do for you, but even more so on how you will serve the church, then a lot of this can be headed off at the pass, to use a old cowboy metaphor.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about the church membership classes, and it's not because of the book, I Am a Church Member. It's really because this sets up the church for success down the road,
right,
in my opinion. The churches that I've seen in my personal life, and which is not a lot of experience, but at the same time.
Yeah, you're so young.
Yeah. The ones I've seen, I'm so much older than you are.
Yeah,
the ones I've seen that have been successful and have robust ministries are the ones that clearly communicated this through a church membership class.
And that would hold true for so many of these things, and that's why we continue to emphasize, to the point of redundancy, how important it is to have some type of entry point that explains the church and explains its expectations.
And that kind of leads to number five. Well, not expectations of the members, but expectations by the members. And we've talked about the lack of time that pastors seem to have because the expectations placed on them to be at everything, with everything, for everybody in the church is just not possible.
Yeah, I've often said that the three characteristics that pastors and church staff need are omniscience, you need to have all knowledge, omnicompetence, you need to be able to do everything, and then omnipresence, you need to be everywhere. And the expectations by members, lack of time from the perspective of the pastor or staff, that's just two sides of the same coin. I do remember in my third church in St. Petersburg, mm-hmm, where this poignantly and powerfully hit home. Someone said, can you come? And I think it was some social function, and you know how I love social functions and love just chit-chat with people and how are you doing, how's your life? I'm such a extrovert, not really.
I'm social butterfly.
Yeah, and somebody asked me to come to this social function. I was trying to do everything. I was even going to social functions that were just really miserable for me. And it was during the Christmas season. And they said, can you come to our Sunday school class's social function? Christmas party, I believe it was, or Christmas dinner. And I said, I can't. And I had a legitimate conflict.
Yeah.
And she looked at me, the invitor, and she said, but this is the only time I've ever asked you to do anything or come anywhere. And I said, yeah, but we got a few hundred other members who are asking me to be places and do other things.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that it hit me that if you have one church member that asks you to do a couple of things a year, and you're in a church of, say, 400 church members, you've got 800 requests on your plate. And the one that asks one or two times does not really have a great awareness of those who've asked one or two times as well. And then the reality of it is you're going to have someone who's going to be asking you 10 or 12 or 15 times. And so there's this expectation by members not only to be everywhere but to do everything. And literally a pastor, staff person can run his or herself ragged trying to keep up with the expectations of church members.
And that's just church stuff because you've got personal commitments outside of that.
Yeah, it would be good
But I'm talking about if you have kids. I have four kids. You had three whenever you were.
I still have three, Jonathan.
You still have three.
Yeah, but, yeah. They're just grown now.
Yes, but you had three in your house at one time. And a couple months ago, we had three birthday party invites for the same day.
Wow.
And
Y'all are really popular.
Yeah, but we could only make one of them because they all overlapped. So we picked the one. And
the Howe family is the cool family.
Well, no, it's not. It's just the Howe families get kids that have too many friends at times. But
yeah, I understand that, too many friends.
But, you know, that's a personal side. So if we've got a church conflict, you know, that day, it's possible that Beth would have had to do the church thing instead. And I would have been, you know, driving kids all over the place for parties and stuff too. So it's not just personal strain, you know, for the pastor and the pastoral ministry or the minister and the ministerial aspect. It's also a family strain too.
Absolutely. And there are going to be all kinds of demands. And you put the personal, the family, and the church all together, and sometimes the pastor or staff person just throws up his hands and says, I can't do it all.
Now, number six is one that I thought would be higher, but it was performing tasks where the pastor or the minister does not have those competencies, administration or finance or things like that.
You know, if we had done this scientifically, this might have been higher, but again, the first four jumped out, and then the rest of them were high, but not nearly as high. And the number one, and I will put these as really one and the same, though they are not necessarily identical, was finances and administration. Mm-hmm. The reality is many ministers go straight to a Bible college. And if they go to seminary, then they go to a seminary. Mm-hmm. And they have had no business training, no financial training, no leadership training, no administrative training. And then they are put into a church. And let's just use an example. A pastor goes to a church of 200. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he is a pastor of and some type of leadership role with 200 people.
Well, that's 200 attendees, probably about 300 or 400
people. Yeah, 300 or 400 people. He is also an administrator. He probably has the church probably has a budget of around 250,000, 300,000. Mm-hmm. And all of these things begin to play a role in, I'm not just supposed to preach and share the word and maybe counsel every now and then. I'm supposed to know finances and administration.
I've got to sit in on finance committee meetings, and they're talking about long-term debt, and I'm sitting there glassy-eyed.
Yep, exactly right. And because many pastors and staff are not aware of this, I should say because many pastors and staff do not have training in this, then when it's all said and done, they are frustrated by it because they don't understand it. It would be like me sitting in a class on ballet.
Oh, boy.
I would not know what's going on except some people are jumping around. By the way, I went to a dance recital for my granddaughter.
Okay.
As a first, you know, because with three sons, I've never been to a dance recital.
It's possible.
Yeah. It's possible what?
To have sons that are into dance.
No, the three sons.
Not your three sons, but in general.
Okay. Well, I went to my granddaughter's dance recital. And I just got to tell you, of all the things I've ever been to, that was one of them. Never been to a dance recital, but it was my granddaughter.
Yep. See, I'm just got the first daughter, so I'm a few years away from that. Possibly, that's not even a guarantee, and maybe you know, my wife will spare me of those and
so
not push
did,
the daughter
how,
away
how
from
we,
dance.
How do we go from 10 sources of discouragement?
I'm not sure.
To ballet.
I'm not sure. It was your fault. I'm sure. But on this is something that of the many issues that are here, this is one that I believe is solvable to some extent.
Yeah.
Pastors can learn leadership. They can learn finance. They can also outsource it.
Yeah.
Finance, EA Help, we've talked about on the blog before. You've written a post on the virtual assistants.
Right.
You can get a virtual assistant for the fraction of a cost for churches that are smaller. Those are things that are coming along because of the internet, because of technology, that equip pastors better to handle, especially this discouragement, more than the others.
I think you're right. I still would want pastors and staff to have some kind of working knowledge in this area.
Yeah, they do need it, but I'm saying they can get help. You can get a bookkeeper online, you know, Elance or, you know, virtual assistants as well. So.
Sure. But the bottom line is they still are going to have to know finance. They're still going to be some kind of administrator. You have to be an administrator just to outsource.
Yes, you do. Number seven, meetings and committees.
I recently went to a meeting where the mayor of Nashville was the convener. Actually, we requested the meeting of him, we being three of us from Lifeway. Mm-hmm. Loved the way he handled the meeting. He wanted a one-page summary of the topic on just regular font, and he had 30 minutes. It's not because he thought he was the most important person in the world. He just knew that meetings could be done in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the guys who were with me from Lifeway. I said, this is the way I want meetings done.
Yeah.
60-minute meetings, 90-minute meetings. Oh, my goodness.
Dozens of pages of summaries.
Oh, and notes ad infinitum. And I love one of the comments, I would rather get my teeth drilled than go to our monthly business meeting. Now, there's another reason for the monthly business meeting being a source of pain.
Things quarterly.
Yeah, it is simply... It is simply the fact that you may not like meetings, but you don't like the place where the forums are given to the greatest number of malcontents. And so, yes, it's something about meetings. It's something about committees. Meetings in of themselves are not bad. There was a book that came out a few years ago called Death by Meetings, and it hit on the negativity of some of these. Committees we can make them positive, but we have to do them well. And so I fully understand when many pastors and staff say that this is one of their greatest sources of discouragement.
Number eight, family concerns. We kind of touched on this earlier, but...
Yeah, and I totally identify with this. You mess with my family, and boy, you're mm-hmm. messing messing with me at my most vulnerable and vicious point. Mm. And when you have family concerns, and one of the pastors said, my wife is being attacked verbally. I don't even know why, and I'm leaving the church because I cannot take it anymore. We have no right to attack the family members of a pastor or staff person because they were not called to that church. Yes, they were called in a sense that a family comes with the minister who is on staff, but family concerns. And then there are other family concerns about, do I have enough time for them? We mentioned that earlier. Are we financially compensated in a way that my family does not have family pressures? It goes on and on. I'm surprised that was not higher. Have I mentioned to you that if one of my family members get hurt in any way, that it really, 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 really bothers me?
I'm well aware.
I can understand that.
I'm well aware. And I would refer people that want more on this to our posts on the pastor's kid and the pastor's wife.
Oh, those are two good ones as far as, particularly in the comments, to hear from people about how they've been hurt and how they've resolved it to some extent.
Not only family concerns, number nine is staff issues. Just within the staff,
probably. You know, anytime you get people together for any length of time, you and I traveled recently, and we started the trip with you popping gum. I mean, it was just driving
me. 5 seconds, and I threw it out.
Yeah, that's because I had a video of someone on a plane who was popping gum next to me, and I showed you. I said, we ain't going to do this, dude, for the next 7 hours one way. And so, yes, you threw it out rather violently because I think you're a little ticked that I told you you were popping gum. Anytime two people get together, three, four, there are going to be some conflict and there are going to be some differences. It happens with staff as well. The student minister is angry at the pastor. The pastor is frustrated with the children's minister, and the list goes on and on. This is normal. It is not that you have conflict. It is how do you resolve that conflict.
And number 10 is the lack of volunteers.
Heard this a lot too, and again, it came up as number 10, but you got to understand all of these top 10 came up as very important issues and very high-rated issues of discouragement for pastors and staff. So totally understand that. The church is primarily a volunteer organization. It manifests itself most often in the comments about children working in preschool. Members working in children in preschool area.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. You're the husband of a you're the husband of a children's minister.
And not to discredit the other ones, but there were a lot of responses. I mean, you mentioned that, and there were some that just didn't quite make the top 10. Real quickly, I know one of them we discussed offline was divorce of couples in the church. That was one that kind of, that would have been in my top 10 list.
It would have been in mine too, because any time a family broke up, I felt it personally, because I felt they were part of the church family, and now one of them is going to be gone, or at the very least, they're going to be going their separate directions, and that whole thing
really bothers, and it's really awkward.
That is a very difficult position when that happens. Not personally, no, you're not talking personally. About you've been in a church right, where they both stay. And understand?
Not personally, everything's good.
Yes, you love Beth.
Yes, I do. Well, this week's podcast has been brought to you by the Cross Church School of Ministry. It is a one-year residential ministry experience hosted by Cross Church and Dr. Ronnie Floyd. It is uniquely designed to prepare leaders for life, ministry, and gospel advancement globally. For more information about the Cross Church School of Ministry, visit crosschurchschool.com. That'll do it for this week's episode of Reign Our Own Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr.
Keep a reminder, listeners, that as you have listened to this podcast, we have not gone over these top 10 plus just simply to give you a list of grievances of pastors and staff. It has been our hope and our desire that not only are pastors and staff listening to this, but this will become a source or place where church members will listen as well and can offer the opposite encouragement and prayers to help those who go through this get through these times.
Thanks for joining us this week on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.